pitter-pat, and that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
Today I'm very proud of myself.
Crossed over. If I ever have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Well, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, Frank.
And let's use our radio voices.
All right.
Good afternoon, everybody. How's it going?
I'm just doing fine, thank you.
What about yourself?
Beautiful day out there.
You know, I had an idea. I had an idea one time for a movie, and it was two DJs, and they actually talk this way all the time. The guy came home from work. What's for dinner, honey? Hey, hey, this rocking casserole is the best I've ever had.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna take a shower now, and then we'll go to the movie. What do you say? Hi, kids. How was school today? I'll retell one of my favorite stories about disc jockey voices. I was in Columbia, South Carolina for a brief time. We lived there for 6 weeks, because 8 weeks maybe, because for Army basic training. So my wife and I moved into a trailer in a trailer court. And then I thought, well, I like it here. Let's stay here for a while. So we did. We lived in South Carolina for almost a year and then came back. And after I got out of basic training, I didn't have a job. And we had nothing. And I thought, well, I know a little bit about the radio business because I had worked part-time at WRTH Avco Radio. And that was this place on the dial. It was called 59 then, not 590, but it's the same frequency. So I need a job. So I'm listening to all the radio. And in Columbia, South Carolina, there was a top 40 rock station with a guy named, I cannot remember, but it was an easy radio, Gary Collins, you know, or something like that. And this guy's voice was unbelievable. Gary Collins on WRQD 106.5. So I was fascinated by his voice. So one night, he was on an evening, I drove there, and I used my, well, I'm in radio, and I was working in St. Louis. Well, if you say St. Louis, that's a pretty big market. And there was a security guard there because it was an AM, FM, and TV station all in one. Kind of like Channel 4, and then they housed, and they were all under the same umbrella. I said, I just want to say hello to Gary Collins. He goes, do you know him? And I said, no, I don't know him, but I like his work, and I just like to meet him. And yeah, I'm in the business. He goes, oh, sure, come on. So he walks me down the hall, and I can hear on the monitor Gary Collins talking. And he's doing some kind of a commercial, and he took a break. We'll be right back. Well, John, on WKQA 106.10. The guy opens the door. This guy is 16 years old. He's 16. Hi, nice to meet you. And he sounded nothing like that boy. So, Bill here tells me you work in St. Louis, and I wanted to go, where's Gary Collins? But I knew, because while we're talking, he goes, hey, hang on, man. I want to keep talking. I got to take a break here. Gary Collins. And I just watched him. I thought, this is unbelievable.
Wow.
That you can pull that voice out of your acne-faced teenage body. So, yeah, they used to talk that way, a lot of them. You don't really hear it. A couple of guys in town still do that. And Dan knows who I'm talking about. So good afternoon. Welcome to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. This is the last day of July, the 31st of July, or as I've heard some people call it, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
So it's the 3rd of June.
It's the 3rd of June.
Shoot, I messed that up. Okay. Well, today what I'd like to do, ladies and gentlemen, is talk to a lot of people on the phone. And when you, every time you hear me say that, you know I have nothing. I have nothing to talk about. There's nothing going on, no planning. We don't plan anyway. So we would like to hear from you. Now, let's do the Burke segment. And I have that guy John who called yesterday. I still haven't gotten over his question. What was the day you remember that was the toughest day for you to come into work because of something bad that had happened? Right. That's a great question.
He also had a second part to the question we never got to, as I recall, which was, and then what was your best day? I think he asked both.
I didn't remember that.
I think he said, what was your worst day and what was your best day?
I don't remember that part.
I think somebody asked.
But I think those are as tough as just that other question, what's the worst and best day? What are the worst and best days of your life? They're tough to answer. So I have a question because of something in the news, but I'll save it till after the Burke segment. And the Burke segment goes like this. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do. I have something.
Let's hand it over, ladies and gentlemen, to Dan Strauss. Dan, it's all yours.
Thank you so You're much, welcome. Frank. And I know that you and I think Tim are kind of dieting a little bit.
I'm not dieting a little bit. I'm dieting a lot.
You're dieting a lot. Yeah. Okay. Sunday is my birthday, along with
please.
Nora's
please,
birthday.
Please, oh, I know what's coming.
Nora was my former neighbor.
Yes, the German chocolate cake.
Yes. Monday, he is bringing by the German chocolate cake.
I don't like to hurt people's feelings, so I'm going to eat a piece.
Okay.
and I'm glad you told me, because I'll prepare Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll eat like 100 calories less than I would. I'm not kidding, because I cannot not eat a piece of that.
Oh,
it's that good.
It is crazy.
Do you
good.
Remember Tim from last year?
She makes it. I do.
Do you remember Limey?
Yeah, I do. It's delicious.
She makes it from scratch.
Wow,
it's crazy, but it is tremendous.
I look forward to that. Thank you.
Yeah.
For warning us.
That's my warning, and that's basically all I have.
Anybody else? Burke segment?
No, I've had a really, really boring week.
It's like been a boring last 24 hours.
Yeah,
sort of. Mm-hmm. Tim, anything?
Well, I'd like to thank Dan for his photography skills today, because he took a picture of me wearing my birthday shirt right outside the station today. And,
on our Facebook page?
I don't know if Dan's going to put it on his Facebook, Facebook page.
Our show page has to go.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to text it to Dan then, because he took it on my phone.
Yeah.
And I just wrote that when a man turns 50, his body changes and his wardrobe changes, and I now have to wear reading glasses. So Dan took a picture of me wearing my new reading glasses that I bought for myself, and I decided to upgrade my wardrobe to a new evening attire collection. And I have my Blink If You Want Me shirt on.
I like it.
So I'm wearing that in the studio today. I haven't seen a single... Hannah Yates walked in here, and she went and recorded something in the studio, and she's like, hey, how you doing? And I didn't have the shirt on.
So no
woman has seen me in this shirt.
No, wrong.
This shirt only has... So you guys feel free to blink, because this shirt is only intended for women.
Cool. Right.
Okay, this is only intended... So you guys all get a pass if you blink when you look at me.
You know what, it needs the word... Add the word women. Ladies, comma, blink if you want me.
Well...
Because gay guys might blink.
Well, yeah, that's right.
That's
and good. You're wrong. No women have seen the shirt. Blink, a couple of women out here in the parking lot, they couldn't put their sunglasses on fast enough because they didn't want you to see them blinking. You'd think they wanted you. I like it.
Thank you. So I'll text it to Dan.
Right.
It's on my personal Facebook page.
Blink.
Oh yeah.
If you want me.
Blink if you want me.
Oh my goodness, I love that shirt.
Well, Dan will get one.
Yeah.
He'll get one.
Oh, that's so
anybody else?
Great.
Burke segment? Anything?
No.
Let's close it.
Wow.
Burke segment's officially closed. So here's the deal. These two teenagers are still on the loose that murdered three people. You know what I'm talking about?
In Canada.
Yeah, yeah. They've been on the, a week now or something, close to it. They've been able to...
I didn't hear anything about this.
There's two 18-year-old kids that are both 6'4", and they both worked at Walmart in the state of Washington, and they... murdered. First they were reported missing, and then police realized that they were on a killing spree and they were murdering Canadian citizens.
Oh, really?
And they were suspected of killing three people. So there's a nationwide manhunt on for these kids, and it's been going on for a couple weeks. Well, allegedly they were last seen in a part of Canada that you can only get to by ferry or by plane. So they're like trying to elude and like, you know, into the wild, into the wilderness.
Right.
Exactly.
So, which brings me, I talked to Chris because I don't want people to hold for, and then I'll give you my question. Chris, welcome to 590 The Fan. How can we help you?
Hey, Frank. Been a long number of years since I called you, but I want to say a couple of joke suggestions. But first off, I hope you're on 590 The Fan a long time. Your show is top notch as always, and
well, thank you.
It's nutty and it's wacky, but you make it work, right?
Well, Chris, thank you very much. And I don't hope I'm on 590 for a long time, but I hope I'm still doing this for a long time. And I don't mean that in any kind of bad way. This station is up for sale, and I just hope I get to keep doing what I'm doing for a while. Thank you. I appreciate what you said.
Me too.
I appreciate what you said. Was there anything else?
Well, just the two joke suggestions.
All right.
I'll make it quick.
That's all right. Take your time. You can go to 6 o'clock if you want to. Go ahead.
I had the time to finally call you because I'm unemployed right now, so it's just...
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Are you unemployed because you want to be?
A few months. No, my boss fired me, and my boss was also my landlord, so didn't end well.
How long you've been unemployed?
About 2.5 months now.
What do you do? What kind of work do you do?
Well, I drove a truck, and just a pickup truck, but I drove big box trucks too. I clean the shop. I wash trucks. I wash customers' trucks.
Okay.
You know, after they got painted or they needed to be cleaned up for painting. Like I said, clean the shop and did some yard work. So, but
you're kind of like a jack of all trades, like a handyman.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I have an occasional mechanics helper. That's about it. But I have a Class B license. I don't have a CDL yet, but. I can make more money with the CDL, so I might do that.
Chris,
so,
how old are you?
It's 60, yeah. And even 60.
Yeah, the world is cruel to people over 50. It is. The employment world is cruel. The employment world is cruel to older people because they act like if you're 50, well, it's too late, you can't do anything. Look at the President of the United States, he's in his 70s. Look at all the people running the country in Congress. They're all old. It's not true that you can't do anything, and you're not that old. So I wish you the best. What are your jokes that you want to hear?
Well, I'll just one last comment on that,
sure,
Frank.
Sure.
Many employers practice age discrimination. They just will not openly admit it.
No, they use other excuses rather than be honest about it.
Exactly. Okay, the two jokes, and it's great to talk to you guys.
You too.
The flied lice joke.
Oh my goodness!
I haven't heard in a long time.
Oh my goodness! That's a Hall of Famer. That's a Hall of Famer.
And the one, I don't want to give away the punchline, but the guy puts his Weezer in a hole. If you know which one I mean.
Well, yeah, he gets fired, right? Is it the joke about he comes home from work and he's been fired?
No.
Okay, or the one at the airport,
the airport it's, one.
Okay,
yeah,
got it. I know exactly. I know. Let me. I'm writing down here. Flied lice and hang on, airport wiener. And that way I'll know exactly. I know exactly the jokes you're talking about.
Well, I appreciate it, Frank, and you guys do a hell of a job, and just keep up the good work.
All right, I hope you find work, Chris. I really do. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Frank.
Okay,
take care.
Bye bye. I like that guy. It is true though. I remember when my dad got laid off at 50. And I remember what my mother says. She said, well, your dad will probably never, ever get a job because you know he's 50. Like he was 80. The way she said it, even she, the world had convinced her and him that it was over. Nobody's going to hire you if you're 50. I say if you're 50, you got 15, 20 really good years and a lot of experience. And the world just doesn't seem
even
to
if you're
appreciate
50,
that.
You're still nifty.
Oh, my goodness.
By the way, that applause you hear was recorded, and Limey hit it for himself.
I got dandelion.
Have you seen the movie The Intern with
no.
Robert De Niro?
No, I don't think so.
Robert De Niro. It's a good movie. He becomes an intern for someone, and he's older. He's retired, and he ends up helping the company. It's a pretty good movie.
I decided I have to separate people's politics from their art.
Yes.
Because if you decide, I'm never going to listen to that person's music again because he's gay, I'm not going to do this because somebody's a Democrat or Republican, there'd be nothing for you to watch or listen to. So you can't do that. Now, here's my question, and we'll go around the room counterclockwise. We'll start with Limey. If you were trying to disappear, like these two guys running from the law in Canada, if today you wanted to disappear for whatever reason, mm-hmm. What's the first thing you do? What's the very first thing you do? You want right now to walk out of here. There's a manhunt for whatever reason, or they're just looking for you because you're, whatever you did, you're going to jail if they catch you. You have to disappear.
The first thing I would do is take my cell phone on a public bus and then get off at the next stop and leave my phone on the bus. That way it would look like that my signal is going around, traveling around somewhere, or something like that. Or I'd try and leave it in like a friend's car or something, because they'd obviously be tracking my phone. So I'd be doing that, keeping an eye out for cameras, like closed circuit and security cameras. Make it inside to...
What would you do to change your appearance?
You should shave
immediately.
Well, yeah, I'd shave my beard, and that would be about all I could do, because I don't really have long hair. I've got a shaved head.
I will tell you, and don't take this the wrong way, I'm not a tattoo guy, okay? I don't get it.
Right.
One of the things you got going against you is you have to cover up. You get some pretty prominent tattoos. And they know that, and they'd be able to, so you have to cover that up always where they are. Which for you would be pretty easy to do.
Throw on a hoodie.
Yeah, you don't have them on your neck, your face, your arm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the very first thing you'd do would be get on a bus.
Would be
walk out of here and get on a bus.
Would be to get rid of my phone.
Okay.
That would be my very first thing. Not to destroy it, because I'd want to lead them away from me, so to get rid of my phone would be my very first thing.
Well, it's interesting, because that's the first thing that I thought I would do. Dan, what would you do? What's the first thing you'd do?
Wow.
And then the second, because the first, you're going to say also get rid of my phone. Anybody with half a brain will get rid of their phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then what would you do next?
Man, I have no idea.
I have thought about this a lot.
Try to get into Mexico somehow.
Well, they'd be expecting that.
Yeah, probably. Man, I don't know.
Could you say then you would look for transportation?
Would you try and fake your death? Maybe I could try and fake my death.
How the heck would you do that?
I don't know. I have no idea what I would do.
If you have to disappear, I think usually you don't really have a lot of time to have planned it out. You just,
like right now, you'd
have this much time before the show's over. I am out of here, and I mean I'm really out of here. I'm disappearing, and nobody will know what happened to me. Pim, what would you do?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would empty my bank account out, and I would get as much cash as possible. Secondly, I would take some of that cash and go to a friend that I trusted, and if they had a vehicle that I knew didn't have an OnStar GPS-type device, I would bribe that friend to let me use that vehicle so that nobody would know what kind of car.
Would the friend know?
I'd have to confide in somebody that I'm about to go on the run.
Okay, but then the friend is an accomplice, and they're going to say, even though it's a friend, they might go, Tim, I can't be part of this because I'm harboring a fugitive.
I would just say, here's some cash. Can I borrow your car?
Tell them you didn't know I was on the run, that I just asked to borrow your car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good one.
I would, I'd probably conspire to create a false identity and probably try and acquire a false passport. And I wouldn't go across the Mexican or the Canadian border. I would probably try and make it to one of the coasts and bribe a fishing vessel captain to take me wherever that boat's going. And I'd have to rely on bribery.
And that's a good idea, but most people have no idea where to go to get a fake passport.
There's ways to do it. You can get them off the dark web. There's other ways to do it too.
Mm. Well, that's another thing. You're gonna go on the dark web. You're gonna use your computer.
Not necessarily my computer, but a computer.
A computer.
You're gonna go to the library. You're gonna have to make yourself a little bit vulnerable. You can't just disappear. You'd have to take some risks and some chances.
Right.
I remember one of my favorite scenes in Breaking Bad was when the private investigator that was in that Mike. The guy that was the PI, he had a go bag. You know what a go bag is?
Yeah.
Go bag has, you know, cash, right. IDs, credit cards. You know,
like OJ had in the Bronco.
Well, yeah. You're ready on the go.
Right.
It's like Jeffrey Epstein had a go safe. You know, Epstein had a go safe. He had cash. He had diamonds. He had a fake passport. You know, that's about the only way you can do it.
Right. You've said one thing the other two guys didn't say. The top of my list, cash.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said that everybody should have some cash. And some cash could be $500, it could be $50,000, but have enough cash to get somewhere and people can't trace you. You don't need a credit card.
I'm screwed.
And to eat and live for a couple of days, because the minute you're trying to disappear, as soon as you go to an ATM or whatever, they may be waiting for you to do that. Mm-hmm. So you need, like, right now to go somewhere, get some cash, and go. The cell phone was the other one. I would, like Limey said, I wouldn't destroy it. I would try to put it on something or somebody that didn't know it was there. Mm-hmm. So they would be tracking it, and I'd go, the completely different direction that phone was going if I could know where the phone was going. The phone and the, and I'd buy a burner phone because I would want to call my kids, my wife, that now, if, correct me if I'm wrong, they can't track a throwaway phone, right? You use it and throw it in the trash.
If they know the number, they could.
Right.
If they knew the number.
Like, if they get footage of you buying the phone, they can probably, like, figure out what number it is. See, then get you.
Police have these boxes that are very controversial, and what they do is they're essentially their portable cell phone towers. And
about the Stingray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you use any phone, regardless of whether it's a burner or not, they can set up a box. They can set up a box right here outside our studio, and anybody that's making a cell phone call, the box would ping. It would know that the phone is in the vicinity of that box.
Yeah. I would also immediately put on a hat because if I'm on the run, I'm bald, and they're immediately going to be
actually.
So I would put on.
I would like to make an amendment. Like if it becomes public, like all over the news and all over the TV.
You
like,
turn on the local like, you know, news
yeah,
on the run.
Me,
Miami
like, wanted.
Yeah.
I would call the person I hate the most and be like, "I'm coming to get you."
Oh.
That would be my first thing.
And the cops would then all go to his house.
Right. And also that person would be freaking scared.
You bet.
For God knows how long.
I would also immediately start to grow a beard because I grow a fantastic beard. In 2 weeks.
You should do that one day.
I've done it twice. In 2 weeks, I would be completely covered with a really, I'm not bragging, but I don't have any hair on my head, but I do have a killer beard. And I know it would be white, probably. I would do the beard and the hat. Now, I don't look really anything like what they're looking for.
Right.
Bald guy, clean shaving guy. I'd be a guy with a hat or a cap and a beard. And then I would grab some cash. And I have access to cash. It's locked down tight, but I could get to it. And then I just have to decide. I've got cash. I got a hat. I am growing a beard. Now what? And I'm sort of with Tim on the water thing. Getting away somehow by water.
That'd be the easiest way to get out of the country.
Yeah. Now, the other thought is this. Stay within a mile of your house. Because I think they're going to assume, you know, that...
You're gone.
You're gone. But how many times have we found or seen the news where they go, well, 1 mile from the guy who never went anywhere, really?
I don't think anybody on this show would make it 3 days.
I don't either.
No.
I don't think I'd make it 24 hours.
I wouldn't.
Something slip up, something stupid. Mm-hmm. Now, what about food? I think I know what I do about food. Every restaurant, and Lima, you work at a restaurant, mm-hmm. they throw out enough that I can survive on what they're tossing out back. So I, you know, hit the back of some restaurants. But cameras, you're right, there's probably a camera back there. That's the biggest problem, is we live in a world with cameras everywhere. But I have thought about this, and I'm not sure why. Every time I see somebody on the run, and I see that they made it for 2 weeks, I go, wow, that's pretty impressive.
What was that one guy up north? He used to be a police officer, and then for some reason he was on the run, and they were hunting this guy for a good 4 or 5 weeks,
yeah.
And they found out that lastly he had been staying in a room across the road from their little like search place hub. He'd been living apartment above a store and watching them
look for him.
Oh.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know. That kind of stuff is just fun, I think, for me anyway, to think about.
I think maybe I could get 3 or 4 days. Because I would go instantly, like whatever I had, I would instantly just go out into the countryside, just out into the woods. That's where I would try and last the longest and stay away from all the main
roads. Okay, what woods, where?
Anywhere down 44.
Oh, you know? Can I tell you something? My wife and I were driving down 44 2 weeks ago, and this is weird. I looked over at a clump of forest, mm-hmm. and this year it's unusually thick because of the rain. And I said to her, I said, look at that. If you went, because it's so thick, mm-hmm. if you went in there, deep into that, they wouldn't find you for a while.
They wouldn't see you.
Because you can't see it from the air.
Mm-mm.
And it's just, but think about that, though. Then what? You're in that, it's so thick, you can't really walk through without a machete. What do you do then? How do you sleep?
You slowly make your way.
And you get ticks all over
you.
What
are you going
to eat? Lyme disease.
If I'm running away from the cops because they're going to arrest me like I'm some murderer, who cares about ticks?
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
I'm not going to be worried about ticks.
All right, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-8255. 0590. Randy is on the phone. Randy, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's up?
Hey, guys. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Frank, I've got a series that you need to watch. It's called Hunted. It's exactly what you're talking about. It's a game show. It's a reality game show. There's a UK version, and there's also a version that's set here in the States. They take teams, and you're going to be contacted, and the minute you're contacted, you've got an hour head start, and you're off. You're on the run.
Who's hunting you?
Retired FBI, U.S. Marshals, and police officers.
Wow, this is a good show. I like this show.
I'll tell you what, there's some things that if the way they track people is accurate, anybody who is ever going to try to do anything is an absolute fool. One of the things that they use quite frequently, which I've never heard of, is there are cameras on the interstate that they can program to look for your license plate.
Or how about facial recognition? And you're right. You're right. Yeah. License plate numbers. There's software, and computers have the ability to.
Oh.
If that plate drives down that stretch, that computer will know that number and grab it and flag it.
That's how they caught the guy that shot the TV reporter and her cameraman in Roanoke, Virginia, where I used to live
on live TV.
When he shot him and he fed it live on Facebook.
Right.
That's how they caught him, was because he drove down the highway, and you know, the highway overpasses have cameras that read every license plate that goes through. That's how they knew where the guy was, and that's how they caught him.
Wow.
Well, they didn't catch him. They pursued him, and he committed suicide, but, I mean, that's how they got him.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't drive anything. I wouldn't steal a car.
You have to get a car that nobody knew you were in, is the thing. You'd have to confide in a friend. You'd have to have some type of accomplice to make
this?
It. Or you could just throw the license plates off the
If you have enough money, enough cash, what about an Uber ride a couple hundred miles? Because there are drivers that will take you that far. I mean, I've talked to
you
guys.
Need your cell phone though, just, to pay him, though, at the end?
I just watched Collateral the other night. I think we were Tom Cruise, where he hijacks the cab and he goes around and kills
Jamie
people.
Fox, yeah.
Jamie Foxx.
Wow, I haven't seen it.
Good, man. Might have to break a few laws.
Randy, I'm sorry. Anything else?
No, I was just saying.
Hunted. Where do you watch it?
That tonight. I actually saw it when it was on TV, but I think Prime has it.
Amazon Prime? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not. But there's a UK version and a US. I've watched the US, and there are pretty much no rules.
And please tell me it doesn't look staged. It actually looks like they're really hunting them, and
I don't think it's staged. The only thing that you've got to realize is there are cameras following the people, you know, so it's like, well, you can only be so quiet,
right?
But you know, it's I think it's very well done. It shows you a lot of the technology and tricks and of the trade and so forth.
It also shows you the mindset of people who are trying to disappear and what their thoughts are and what they think, you know, the sequence of events should
be.
We
need to talk to a bounty hunter right now, because they're great at finding people.
All right. Randy, thank you. Thank you for the call.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. I'll just keep this going. Here, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Phil, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Yeah, this is Phil, AM in the PM.
Thank you, Phil.
Back to when Chris called in, I'm 60 also.
Yeah.
My company has reverse age discrimination. They've screwed up our pension so bad that we're all going to have to work to over 70 or 75 in order to get any kind of pension.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry to hear that.
Wow. Yeah, that is you know, I feel bad about it. Every once in a while you'll read about a company and some, for whatever reason, they have to announce, I'm sorry, all of you who worked here 30, 35 years, our pension fund's gone, and sorry, you got nothing.
Well, how did they screw up the pension fund? Like, bad investments
or
something?
Somebody steal it?
I'm in management, so they can just do whatever the heck they want to. And they, about 10 years ago, they tried real hard to go out of business. I've been there 35 years. And they made a bunch of stupid decisions and tried to go out of business. And when I'm 62, I was supposed to get a $6,000 a month pension. Now it'll be about $1,600,
$1,700. Whoa.
Oh, man.
So what guarantee do you have if you work till you're 70 or 75 that'll even be there? You don't?
Well, one thing that happened with, remember Enron when they went belly up and all those people lost? Well, there was a law passed after that that any company sponsored for management people, non-contractual people, they have to be funded outside the company. So what is there will still be there even if the company goes bankrupt.
Okay.
It just, the incrementally, you know.
So you fully expected to and planned to hang it up at 62, right?
Yeah.
And now you think you'll have to work till what age? 70?
I'll have to work, well, if I can manage to do it, at least 63 and a half because I can't get insurance.
Yeah.
And I can get bridge insurance through the company for $1,500. Basically, my pension will pay for bridge insurance until I'm 65 to get Medicare.
Do you like what you do?
Yeah, I love it.
Well, you know what? That's at least you got that. Yeah. Imagine hating your job and realizing you got to keep doing it.
Well, I might be considered a tad sarcastic. I'm not certain, but maybe. And so I kind of get away with pretty well. I'm the longest serving member of management at the facility where I work.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, I can pretty well say anything to anybody. I mean, as long as I'm not completely disrespectful.
Right.
And get away with it. So, you know, I had my boss one time, he said, hey, you got to make sure you fill out XYZ form. He was new.
Yeah.
And, you know, and said, you got to fill this XYZ form every day. And I said, no, I don't do that.
Good for you.
Well, you got to. No, it's a talk to your boss. He knows I don't do that.
Yeah, good for you. You know what? There's a lot to be said for having a position like that, where you got some freedom. You can not be necessarily politically correct, and you like what you do. So working another year and a half, it'd be a lot worse if you just hated going in every day.
Yeah, and the guys who work for me, it's a union environment. But you know, I've been around long enough. I treat them right. And they take care of me. I mean, they take care of a lot of stuff that I don't have to deal with.
Good.
So, you know, that makes it good. And, you know, since 2009, I've lost 23% of my pay with, give backs. But,
if you can get back to what you're supposed to get, that's $6,000 a month. That's a pretty decent, pension.
Yeah. Well, that's when I was early 20s when I went to work there, mid-20s.
Yeah, well, you deserve
that was part of the thing that said, okay, yeah, that's part of my benefit package, and then it wasn't.
Good for you. And it should be if you work for somebody that long and give them that much of your life. It should
be. Especially if they tell you that they're going to do it. Yeah. You know, if it's, you know, you just expect it and it's not there. But, I mean, I got printed material that says it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have 6 weeks of vacation, so if they ever take me off, matter of fact, I'm taking tomorrow off because I got aggravated today. You know, so that works out good. My boss, my direct boss, treats me real good. And,
so it can be worse. It can be worse.
Yeah.
At least you got that. All right. Hey, man, good luck. Yeah. We wish you the best.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Phil.
Bye.
I love talking to people about their jobs. I do. And stuff like this.
Right.
Like, and finding out what kind of severance they get or what I forgot who it was a couple of years ago that I talked to, and they had left a company, and it was one of those deals where you can accumulate sick days. So this person had accumulated sick days personally, and they rolled over. If you didn't use them, you can't.
Wow.
He had over a year, like a solid year's worth of sick days, personal days, vacation he didn't use, and they paid him for all of them.
Wow.
Now that.
Lucky.
I think I would never get sick and never take a day if I could pile them up.
A lot of companies have them use them or lose them.
Yeah. Oh, no, like the end of a calendar year or whatever, you start all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is why I've never understood why people don't use them. I mean, that's stupid to me to not use them. Look at all these calls. Let's take Rob. Rob, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm AM in the PM.
Well, that's why you're fantastic. What's up?
Well, one of the first things I would do is I'd go buy some long pants.
Oh.
Because I'm one of those guys that I wear shorts all year round.
And everybody knows you wear shorts. And okay, that's a great. Hey, that's like the guy that owns this station. The guy wears shorts all the time.
That's a great idea. I would jog everywhere because everybody would say, there's no way that can
be. Oh, that's not him. Jim would never jog. That's good, too. That's a good one.
Real quick, real quick, my daughter got married this year, and I'm walking her down the aisle, and she looked at me, and she goes, Dad, thanks for wearing pants today. That's the first time I've had pants on in probably 3 or 4 years.
When I met the guy that owns this station, he was in khaki shorts and a dark blue golf shirt. Do you know what he has worn every single time I've seen him? Khaki shorts and a dark blue. I'm not kidding. And I said, don't you ever wear long pants? He goes, no, bud. Not if I can help it, I don't. No, even in the wintertime. And that's what he wears all the time. So that's a great point. If he were on the run,
weddings,
he should get long
weddings
pants.
Weddings and funerals, you'll see me in pants.
Yeah, only because.
I had friends of mine, they could hear my voice, but they couldn't see me. They couldn't figure out where I was at.
Wow.
I was in a tux, and yeah, it was great.
That's a great one.
And
if
you're
somebody,
the exact opposite because you never wear shorts. You
I don't. No, I don't wear them to work.
Oh,
I never wear them to work.
Gotcha.
But I wear
all
shorts.
Right, go.
Rob, thank you.
Woo-hoo.
See you. Marsha. Is Marsha there?
Yeah. No, it's
John. I loved it. I we should just do nothing but take calls. That should be the whole show. Well, and next hour we'll take calls too because Dr. Doug will be with us next hour if you have a pet. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I'm aiming the peanut
butter,
guys.
Thank you there, John.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One other thing, John.
Hey,
yeah, one other thing.
How's
yeah.
It going there, Chisel Chest?
Yeah, one other thing.
One thing, man. Hey, let me real quick. This guy, the owner of the station, does he wear Chuck's boots and the shorts when you meet him, or is he just wearing boots, or what did he wear?
No, he was wearing shorts and, I believe, tennis shoes.
He was just wearing Chuck's boots when I met him.
Yeah. No pants. No, he doesn't own that anymore.
Oh, he doesn't own anymore. Oh,
no.
That's why he's not wearing Chuck boots. Okay.
So.
Hey, real quick there. With the radio stations going in flux, and I don't know, I can't tell who's owned by who anymore. Is the radio station business a good thing to own it or to get into it nowadays?
No. This is easy. No. The answer to that is no. No, it's not. I say that, and that's not entirely true. One of the people that I know who's he's a financial advisor, and it wasn't Mark or Jason, but it was a guy that I respect, I've known for a long time. He read an article by a guy he said he really respects. The guy's a brilliant investor, and he said right now, one of the smartest things you could buy is a radio station. Because you can pick them up cheap, and he's convinced that all radio is not dead. And I'm convinced of that too. And I think if somebody bought this station, I know exactly, and I'm not wrong, what they should do with it, and it would work, and it would be profitable, and it would have a huge audience. So,
right. So you're saying it's better to buy a radio station than get into the business. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's not a great time for radio, but it actually is a good time to buy a station if you know what to do with it.
Oh, okay.
Can you pick them up cheap?
Hey, and one more thing there. I just don't understand this. When was the last time you guys been to a baseball game? Cardinal baseball game?
I haven't been to a baseball game for 4 or 5 years.
About last week?
It's
been
a
couple of weeks for me.
It's about a month for me.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm bringing this up, I just don't know a lot of, unless you're like over 60 years old, you're a middle-aged, you know, person like baseball, grew up with Mickey Mantle.
Yeah,
I talk a lot of y'all people, young people, below 30, they don't even go to the game. They say they're afraid of getting, you know, whatever crime ridden or that.
Oh, I don't think that's true at all. I don't think anybody's afraid to go to a baseball game because of crime.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you don't think so?
No.
Well,
no.
No. Okay. Well, I mean, so is it mainly because of the expenses? It's too pricey?
Well, yeah, $15 for a beer isn't fun, you know?
The only way to go is to go all-inclusive, because to keep digging in your wallet every time you want a drink or a bite to eat, just find yourself an all-inclusive.
Yeah, I think it's sad. This is America's pastime.
Right.
America's pastime. A lot of fathers and sons like baseball, and I think it's really sad that if a guy has, let's say, a couple of kids, there are a lot of people who absolutely cannot afford to take two kids to the baseball game.
Because I can't wait to take my kids to a baseball game.
I'll tell you two things about the Cardinals. I actually had to go do some PI work downtown last night after the Cardinals game was over. I do a lot of late night work. I couldn't believe how many Cubs fans were walking around downtown St. Louis. I mean, it's like I thought this was a Cardinals home game. It's like everybody had Cubs shirts on. I watched the game last night, and it was spectacular how many Cubs fans were at Busch Stadium. And secondly, when I went to the game two Tuesdays ago, the Cardinals have all of their retired numbers on the wall in the outfield. You know, Red Shandy's number 2, and then it, you know, goes all the way up to Jack Buck and Gussie Bush. And they used to it used to start the left field foul pole line on the wall, and it used to extend like all the way out past the left center field bleachers.
Right.
And I had to laugh out loud when I saw this year, because they've taken all those down and they've scrunched them now to about one third the size of these.
Yeah.
So they can put advertising signs
absolutely.
On the wall.
Advertising rules. Yeah. Right. If anything gets in the way of revenue stream, get rid of it. You want anything else, John?
Yeah, I'd like to ask your British guy there. What does he think about this new Boris Johnson? Is he just a ogre drunk, or is he going to actually do something with the British? And thanks for your show, guys. I hope you stay on the air.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, one other thing.
All right,
bye.
There we go.
Yeah.
Bye, John. Hey, oh.
I don't know.
Boris Johnson is the new Prime Minister of England. He's an absolute... I got to watch my language. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
I was going to say a D-head, but, you know.
Or a D-bag.
Yeah, or a D-bag.
You say that.
Yeah. No, he's...
Why?
Because I don't believe that he really gives a crap about politics. I think he just wants it because he wants his name up in the lights. He was the mayor of London once. Didn't really do any good. Now, for some reason, he's the prime minister because he's the lead of the Tory party over there. I don't think he was voted in. He's the reason this whole Brexit stuff is going on. He did nothing but lie about the amount of money.
Whoa. He's a politician and he lied?
Yeah, right.
Thank goodness we don't have that in this country. This is America.
The man's a jackass. I don't think he's very...
All right. There's your answer, John. Marcia is next. Marcia, thank you for holding. Welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm an AM and a PM.
Well, thank you, Marcia.
Okay, I've called before, Frank, but...
That's funny, because I don't recognize your voice. it's like... I don't recognize your voice. It's so... It's like so many other voices.
Yeah.
It's so average.
It's common.
No, yes, I remember your voice. What's up, Marcia?
Okay, well, you were talking about pensions and that fellow before this other man.
Right.
Saying, you know, he's going to have to work till he's 75. Okay. When my husband retired, okay, everything was fine financially, all right? I'm not poor muffin, but things do change. I didn't get, and then he passed away, and I didn't get my Social Security, which was about a little over $500.
Right.
Okay, but I got his, which was like $1,200 and something.
Okay.
Yes. The company he worked for was A&P, and they went out of business.
Like A&P supermarkets?
Huh?
Like the grocery chain, A&P?
Yes.
Okay.
You're too young.
No, if I didn't remember it, I wouldn't have just said, was it the grocery chain? Of course I remember.
Yeah, it was A&P, Atlantic Pacific Tea Company. And he worked there till, you know, they closed up.
Right.
Okay, his pension was unbelievably low. I mean, it was sad. He worked his buns off. You know, and, of course, you know, we managed to save money. Otherwise, I don't know what we would have done. Now, me, I don't know what I would have done.
Right. Well, the magic word is save. And most people don't know how to save money. And when they give me that, well, I don't make enough to save. No, that's nonsense. No matter how much you make, if you could if you could simply say, okay, 10% of what I make doesn't exist. I'm gonna pretend I make 90% and just put that 10 away for as many years and decades as you can. You'll have plenty of money.
Right. And we're Catholics and we have supported our church.
Yeah.
You know, through all our marriage life. We were married 62 years and then he passed away on me. And,
he passed away on you? Was he actually on you?
Oh, Frank.
Well, she said.
Oh, Frank.
He passed away. It happened.
Inappropriate.
It happened.
Inappropriate.
It happened.
Awful.
Marcia, it happened.
Apologize.
There have been guys passed away on somebody.
Are they
making fun
of me again?
Huh? No, Marcia. No, he wouldn't dare do that.
No. No.
I know what I said.
Yeah, I know you do. And
you're fine.
Tell them, Marcia. Tell them.
I didn't think they'd catch it. They're really smart, aren't they?
Yeah. So 62 is too young. First of all, it's too young.
Listen, I enjoy listening to your program.
Hold on. Wait, hold on, Marcia. Marcia. Take a breath. Hold on. How'd your husband die? 62 is too young. How'd he die?
No, they were married for 62 years.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he died at 62. 83 years old. Okay. How old was he when he passed away?
84.
That's a good run. That's a good long run. And 63, that's a good, solid, long marriage. Good for you.
I really miss him, and we did everything together. We never parted, you know?
It's sad.
I said, you know, like young people now, they go on trips with their girlfriends and, you know, this and that. I never did do that. I wasn't raised that way, you know?
Yeah, well, the world is completely different now, Marcia, as you know.
Yes. And with, you know, years back, we had three children. Our oldest is 61, and the youngest is 47, and the second boy is 55. And I have good children, and they are very good to me, Frank.
And let me tell you something, Marcia. Let me tell you, you're on great terms with all of your kids. All your kids love you. They visit you. They talk to you. That is worth more than any pension that he would have, because there are people who have plenty of money, but they'll have a child that never speaks to them.
Right.
That would kill me.
And my husband came from a big family. There were six boys and six girls, okay? Well, there's six left now, and they even are good to me. No. I mean, we meet once a month and have a dinner. And we don't go back and forth to people's houses like we used to when our children were young.
Right.
Because, you know, you didn't go nowhere, so you'd invite people over. But now the only time we have a big get-together is at Christmas. And but it's not in a home. It's in a hall because there's 51 nieces and nephews.
But you know what, Marcia? Yeah, it sounds to me like overall, Marcia, you have had and do have a pretty good life.
I do.
Yeah, well, good.
Even though I get unhappy, Frank, but I still have a good life.
Marcia, everybody gets unhappy. And anybody who says they don't is lying. Everybody gets unhappy. And everybody gets sad. And everybody gets depressed. Some more than others.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't get depressed.
Well,
I still work in the yard, and I get the yard cut done, but I do all the other stuff, you know, roses and stuff like that.
Marcia, I want you to call more often because, one, I love your voice, and what I would really like is if one day you would call us and breathe helium, because I would love to hear what your voice sounds like if you breathed helium.
And, Marcia, I have a question for you. Did you have any sisters growing up?
No. I only had a brother.
When he got mad at you, would he say, Marcia?
You guys, I'm telling you. That's
terrible. Marcia, call back. Don't wait so long to call. We love talking to you.
Okay, well, I have tried to come through, but I keep getting a busy signal.
Well, first of all, Dan's bad about answering the phone, so just let it keep ringing. If you finally get it to ring, just let it keep ringing, and eventually, when Dan's through talking about people's personal lives and their kids or out talking to Bill or smoking, he'll get to your call. But please call again, and don't wait so long, okay?
Okay, I'll call back again, Frank.
All right, Marcia, thank you.
Okay,
yeah.
Bye.
I love her. What a great voice. What a great little voice.
Do you remember the old lady from the Looney Tunes that owned Tweety Pie? She reminds me that.
Oh,
her
yes.
voice reminds me
now,
of
now,
her.
Now, let me ask you a question. Listening to her voice, describe her in your mind to me. Don't do it now. We got to take a break. But I want you to think about that.
Okay.
Just from what you heard, because I've always been fascinated with how people's voices usually don't match. Their faces, bodies don't match their voice. But think about it. Remember her voice and think about that. I have to do a little bit of business. First Community Credit Union business I'm happy to do. I called Glenn Barks this morning. He's the president of First Community Credit Union. And he was out of the country. It sounded like he was next door. I made a couple of calls when we were on our trip. That's amazing to me. It's like they were you're in the same town or something. Everything is good at First Community Credit Union. Thanks, in great part, I'd like to think, to you folks who are AM and the PM and who tell them you're AM and the PM. I don't know how long First Community Credit Union has been on this show. I'm going to guess 12 years. That's a guess. Something like that. But I'm thrilled they're here. I do all my banking there. I'd like for you to think about that. And if you want, you can start with just one thing, like car loan. Go check out their auto loan rates. And you will probably find that theirs is lower, which means your car payment will be lower. That's how a lot of people end up. They start as members just with a car loan, and then they realize every bit of banking business you do with them is that way. They're very competitive when it comes to rates. They are sticklers about how customers are treated, and there's probably one real close to you because they're over 40 First Community Credit Union locations, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area, and it is a great place to bank. Don't forget about boat loans, motorcycle loans, wedding loans, all that stuff. They do it, and they do it well. FirstCommunity.com. Dr. Doug Pernikoff will join us after we talk with Johnny Londoff. So if you have a pet and you have a question, or you have a question about a pet you don't have yet, but you're thinking about getting, please call. Dr. Doug would love to help you. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Wall Street doesn't like today's key interest rate cut by the Federal Reserve. The Dow Jones Industrial Average tumbled 334 points, with most of the red ink.